I'm feeling a little productive today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. It's the morning open, a look at the broader economy as we start the trading day about 20 minutes in. More production, the bad loans still on the books, and GM plugs into better fuel economy. Let's ask the question right now. Where's Wall Street? Market's down right now pretty uniformly. The S&P 500, NASDAQ, and Dow all down about 0.8%. European shares lower right now, too, about 1% each. And another day of gains in Asia. The Hang Seng and Nikkei up under 1% overseas. We learned today the nation's productivity has been surging. The Labor Department says output in the second quarter rose by the largest amount in 6 years. Richard DeKayser is president of Woodley Park Research. He's joining us live from Washington. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
So this big increase in productivity seems like this could be a little counterintuitive for a recession. What do you make of it?
Well, this recession's been different in that regard. Not only has labor productivity continued to increase, but it's increased very rapidly. However, in the second quarter, this 6.4% gain is really extraordinary. And historically, that's what you see at the turn in the business cycle. Employment is a lagging indicator, so after the economy has begun to stabilize, businesses are typically still trimming payrolls. That means more output per worker. And historically, again, if we look back at the past two, three, four recessions, we've had this kind of explosion of productivity growth just about when the recession came to an end.
Yeah, you're talking about jobs, too, and a lot of people talking about a jobless recovery, right?
Well, that's possible. Historically, it's been just a couple of months after recessions end that jobs pick up. In the last recession, 2001, it was closer to 2 years. My own view is that it's going to be somewhere in between. I think we'll start to see jobs grow by the end of this year, and that's in part because of this productivity news. Businesses have been so aggressive at keeping payrolls trimmed and in line with declining demand that when we get that turn in output, jobs should not be too far along.
And we talk about stabilization, Richard. We get a reminder we're not out of the woods yet. The latest comes from the TARP, you know, the Troubled Asset Relief Program watchdog group this morning in Congress. The oversight panel warns in a new report that banks still hold billions of dollars of risky loans. Here's what the head of that panel, Elizabeth Warren, told us this morning on the Marketplace Morning Report.
Small banks hold a lot of commercial real estate loans, which pose a real threat of high defaults in the near future. So since small banks have more trouble raising capital, we raise a particular alarm about the position they may be in.
So what's the answer to that problem, Richard?
Well, you know, unfortunately, there are no easy answers. In the report, Ms. Warren mentions, though does not specifically endorse, a return to what we saw in the early 90s with the Resolution Trust Corporation, wherein the government actually took possession of these assets. That's going to cost a lot of money, and none of the solutions that are being proposed are easy or cheap. So I think what they're really arguing most aggressively for is more of the same. Get the economy moving along, grow jobs. When we grow jobs, that means more people will be occupying the space. Rent comes up, defaults diminish.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to cut it off there. Richard DeKayser, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Steve.
All right. The new General Motors plans to introduce a 230, you heard me right, 230-mile-per-gallon car, mostly electric but part gasoline-powered automobile. The battery pack can be recharged just from a standard home outlet. Reporter Tamara Keith joins us for a quick update live right now to talk about this from Washington. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning.
Has this mileage figure been tested by the EPA yet?
No, not yet. This is the Chevy Volt that we're talking about here, and they haven't tested it yet. We also don't know what the combined city highway mileage figure would be, but it will likely still be in the triple figures, which is significantly more efficient than the popular Toyota Prius, which is a gas-electric hybrid that doesn't plug in unless it's been modified.
But the Volt will be a lot more expensive than the Prius.
Exactly. It'll be about $40,000, which is a lot more money. So people will be buying it to make an environmental statement rather than an economic one. And really, that's what this is for GM, too. It's an environmental statement post-bankruptcy. It's trying to green its image a bit.
Yeah, but talk about green. You know, this news coming out as we get this story that GM's not being so green.
That's right. There's an AP story that says that GM is dropping out of a program designed to prevent mercury pollution. That basically the new GM is saying, hey, we're brand new. We've never had a problem with mercury in our cars.
Well, some logic there, I guess.
Well, yeah.
All right, reporter Tamara Keith joining us this morning from Washington. Tamara, thanks.
Thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
Latest reports today out of China show the country is on the way back. Industrial output and trade and retail sales all improved in the past month. Beijing is in the middle of a multi-billion dollar stimulus to provide medicine to the world's third largest economy. But there are some side effects to all the feel-good news. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Chinese factory production went up 11% over last year. Retail spending rose 15%. Credit the government's $600 billion stimulus package. Thing is, it's not clear all the money is being used the right way. China's stimulus is mostly government loans that pay for infrastructure projects. But economist Frank Song at the University of Hong Kong has a sneaking suspicion that some loans went to companies and individuals who played the stock market.
A part of that might be channeled into the stock markets and the real estate market. So this may create some risk if the bubble bursts.
If the bubble bursts, those government loans would go sour. Shanghai stock market is up 78% this year, and skeptics say the government stimulus has created what they call superficial exuberance. Frank Song also frets about wasteful spending on infrastructure projects.
A lot of these highways and the bridges, for example, there's not much traffic.
And without traffic, those projects could lose money. Another way the government loans could turn non-performing. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Finally, the hits just keep coming for Edward Williams, the lucky lottery hits. The Wichita, Kansas man won $75,000 back in September on a 10-buck scratch-off ticket. Last Wednesday, he hit another jackpot for a whole lot more money, $627,000 after taxes. And that works out to an early retirement for Mr. Williams. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.